about something. There's a word that we use often that is not used in the Bible. But here's, you know, I've got a saying, and let me say it here. Here's the deal, okay? Other words that basically mean the same thing are used practically in every book of the Bible many, many, many times over. In fact, the word, in principle, is the very basis of our relationship with Jesus Christ. The word, in principle, is the very basis of our relationship to God. And so the word is response. Amen. Although this particular word isn't in the King James, you won't find it there. Its meaning is response. Okay, let's look at it real quick. What does response mean? An act of responding to something, constituting a reply or reaction to. I believe it is vitally important to respond to God and His Word. To help us with understanding it, this let's go to the scripture. Let's start with 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 1. John is writing, he says, "My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Verse 2, "And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." Verse 6, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked." Okay? Now, Jesus stated, he is the propitiation for our sins. Whoa, what is that word? Propitiation. What does that mean? What does it entail? Basically, it means the atonement. Jesus Christ is the atonement for sins. He's the supreme sacrifice for sin. Amen. We know that we know Him when we keep His commandments. Okay, so what is keeping His commandments? We know that. It's obedience to Him. To keep or obey is to respond to God. To respond. If you say you abide in Jesus, we must also walk with Him. Now, here's another little nugget that we could hang on to. How do you walk with the Lord? You do what He commanded. But even more important than obeying the Word of God, even more important than doing His statutes and His will, even of utmost importance, is communication and conversation with the Lord. To communicate with Him, to converse with Him, and we do that through prayer. Now, there are many, many examples of those that responded to God found in His Word. In fact, the Word of God will have zero effect on or even impact our lives unless we respond to that Word. We must respond to the Word. Okay, so let's go a little deeper. Let's dig a little bit into the Word of God. We find in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1, Paul says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Paul is saying, notice this, Paul is telling us, I call to you. He's saying, I invite, even implore you because of God's great mercy, because of God's great compassion, His great love for you. I implore you, I invite you that you present your bodies an exhibit for all to see, to respond to God's great call by becoming a living sacrifice unto God. As we walk with Him, as we allow conversation, as we look and to communicate with Jesus Christ, that means forsaking sin and self and serving God. Our response makes the difference. Our willingness to withhold nothing. We sing that song, withholding nothing. Our willingness to give our all to the Lord. And so according to John chapter 14, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus must be my way, my truth, and my life. Remember, Apostle Peter preaching Jesus on the day of Pentecost. Now, as he explained who he was, the Messiah that had come to redeem all Israel, the priest, the scribes, the Pharisees, assumed that Messiah would redeem the nation and reestablish Israel's domination in world governance or world orders, so to speak. But Jesus came to redeem mankind. Jesus came to redeem each individual. That's what Jesus came for. And as Peter preached, he told how he fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies. You know, if you look one after another of the prophecies written about Jesus Christ, and how just in a 24-hour period a tremendous amount of Old Testament prophecies were fulfilled just in the blink of an eye. Should that not have caught their attention? Should that not have caused their eyes to raise and say, whoa, look here, look what's happened, look at this Word of God? No, they just took it on the face value that He was a Galilean. And so, you know, no prophet's coming out of Galilee. Never checked to see where he was born. Never asked him where his birthplace was. You think that would have shocked them if they would have only known? You think they could have researched into that a little bit, but just, he's a Galilean. No prophets from there. And so, as Peter preached and told of all the things that were fulfilled and how he was the Christ, and he plainly explained to them about calling on the Lord to be saved. And he talked about the miracles, the wonders, and the signs that followed Jesus Christ that proved He was ordained of God, that declared and shouted out, this is the Christ. This must be the Messiah. This must be the Holy One. Who else can do miracles like He does? Who else could walk on the water? But you see, most of them were never aware of even that. Only the disciples. Many of them were never aware of all of the things that He accomplished because they failed to dig into that. And so Peter's preaching and on that day of Pentecost, the miracles and the wonders that proved without a shadow of doubt that He was ordained of God, that God was manifested on earth, but it was also ordained of God that He would be crucified and that He would die. But God raised Him from the dead. Now, remember, Peter's preaching all of this on the day of Pentecost. And he's standing up with the 11 other disciples, other apostles, standing up there, and they're all agreement with him, standing with him. And he said, we, the apostles, are witnesses of these things. And then he went on further to say, let all Israel know that Jesus died and was buried, yet rose again triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. In fact, emphatically let all Israel know and understand. Listen to me. Hear this. Let all Israel know and understand that God hath made this same Jesus both Lord and Christ. Woo, hallelujah. Let all Israel know that God hath made Jesus both Lord and Christ. Well, I know that some of them called him Lord. You know what that word Lord means? Supreme in authority. No higher than him. Supreme in authority. Master. And yes, God. Hallelujah. Isn't it thought-provoking, eye-opening even, to hear as Jesus came into that room. He walked into that room after his resurrection. And Thomas had said, until I touch the prints, until I feel where the nails were, I'm not going to believe it at all. But he walked in and he said, Thomas, put your finger here. Reach and see the scar in my side. And what did Thomas say? Oh, you know, you may be the Messiah. He didn't say that, did he? So what did he say? My Lord and my God. Wow. And so Peter's preaching this on the day of Pentecost. He's the Christ is the anointed Messiah. The anointed one came to redeem all mankind. That's what he was. And Apostle Peter said, not only is he your anointed Messiah, he is also your sovereign, your God. And as he closed that message down to the last part, you find in Acts chapter 2 and 37, he just got through hammering that home. And now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Those that heard that day, understand, they responded, what must we do? What is required of us? You've mentioned, Apostle Peter, you've mentioned to call on the Lord to be saved. But how do we actually call upon the Lord? We've been experiencing this wild stuff that has been happening around here, is what they were saying. You know, you stood up and to clarify unto us of what's going on. People's getting the Holy Ghost. It looks like they're drunk. They're rolling and rocking and man, they're saying words that we've never heard of. And we've heard that there's people from all over the world are come that speak other languages, and they're testifying to us that they're speaking in their own language. These other tongues are in their own language telling of the wonderful works of God. We're hearing all of this. We're seeing all of this. So tell us, what must we do? Well, it's simple. Shake a preacher's hand. Give him a birthday present. Ooh, I feel something in that. Not even, is it? It's not what happened. Not even mentioned there. They respond, what must we do? How do we receive this, Lord? Oh, you know it as well as I do. Acts 2 and 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's simple. To respond to the call of God is not to shake a preacher's hand. To respond to the call of God is simply, first of all, you've got to repent. Ask God to forgive you. Turn away from all sins and receive God's miraculous changing of the mind. The second step is obey the gospel and be baptized in water in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. What does it matter? What does it matter how you're baptized? What does it matter, you know, do you really even have to be baptized? Apostle Peter, preaching the kingdom message, said you did. He said it's required. In another several spots, they commanded them that received the Holy Ghost to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Why is it so important? It says because baptism includes the remission of sins. It remits the sins in your life when you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God. And then the third thing that he explained to them, you see all of these guys receiving the Holy Ghost? You see, that's what brought all the questions in the first place. That's what caused all of this noise, is because when the Holy Ghost was fully come, they were in one accord. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared in them cloven tongues like as of fire, and sat arrested upon each of them. And they all began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. Oh, hallelujah. So they saw all of that. So Peter said, you gotta get that also. That's part of the salvation package. And so he said, receive the gift of the Holy Ghost that you've just witnessed. People speaking in tongues as God's Spirit filled them. We go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you receive the word of God, Paul says, when you receive the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Now, I want you to notice this very, very closely. Paul said, we were thrilled when you received the word that was preached unto you. How did he know they received the word? Several somebodies, in fact, say they responded. We know they received the word because they responded at the word. You believed the word and received it through your response. Remember what we must do. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, he says. Not just a few. It's not just a choice. It's not just here and there. Every one of you. And receive the Holy Ghost. Now, that's just the start. God's Word gives us understanding. Everything about God, everything that we know about God, everything to approach God, everything in relationship with God, everything, all is response to God. God's Word gives us understanding. God's Word clarifies it unto us that the response is of utmost importance with God. Matthew 7, verse number 7. You're very well aware of this scripture, but I'm going to take it a little bit further and explain it a little in depth unto us today. Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Verse 8, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Verse 9, or what man is there of you whom, if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Man, he's getting really plain. There's no dad that is really a dad that's going to ask bread and going to give a kid a stone. Go out and pick up a rock and say, eat this. There's no dad that is a dad in name and a dad that could possibly, if he asked him for a fish, Dad, I'm hungry. Pull out a snake and give it to him that could bite him. How crazy is that? And so Jesus just makes it clear and plain to us. Your God is just like a natural dad, even more so. He wants to help you. He wants to give you the very best. Ask, and it shall be given. Okay? You know, I can do that. Ask. That's the easy one. All you have to do is ask. Jesus, I want this. Wow, easy. Just ask. The next one's a little more difficult. It says, seek and you shall find. Give me information. Give me understanding on that. Seek. What are you talking about? Seek. Do you seek the dream? Do you seek where do you go? Do you go to Walmart? Do you go to on Amazon? Where do you seek? What's this talking about? Seek, and you shall find. A good word to help us understand this word, seek, is search. Search out God. And in fact, part of the meaning, according to Strong's, is worship. Wow. So in seeking, you must worship the Lord with everything. Ask, and then begin to worship the Lord. You seek the Lord in your worship to Him. And when you begin to worship the Lord dwells in among the praises of His people. Let me ask. Because you say, I worship God. We worship God. Now it's going to get really, really quiet in here. Because I'm getting ready to ask you some very personal questions. I ask you, do you worship the Lord? Do you sing when the church is singing? I can't sing. Glory on you. What does the Bible say? Oh, you get it, don't you? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And you say, I wish so-and-so next to me would just be a little less joyful. Shouldn't be that way. Amen. Make a joyful noise. Because singing is worship. Do you praise God verbally? It's kind of quiet. Do you thank God verbally for what He has done for you? That's what seek means. It's called response. Now, the third thing, knock, and it shall be opened. The door that you're desiring to enter, knock. And what is that knock? According to Strong's here again, that means to rap. I don't think this is talking about rap music. I hope not. Here's what other translations say about this. And they said, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. We worship and keep on worshiping. Being persistent is the key to our response to God. It has been said that every message, every word from God must have a response from the hearer. Used to in the services, if a preacher was stepping on some toes, what would you respond? Oh me, hallelujah. There's some old timers here. God help me. Being persistent is the key. God's word to you and me becomes ineffective if we have no response to God. If it's just words, if it's just the word of God and we walk away unchanged, unmoved, untouched by the presence of God, how do we respond? It's very easy. One way is when myself or a minister makes an appeal and asks you to step out from where you are and come to the front. It's getting really quiet now. You're committing to a response to God. It's just part of what they do. At the end of the service, they ask you to kind of come forward. It's a big deal. The minister gives the invitation. It's our responsibility to respond. Even when you don't feel it. you can't feel, even when you don't feel like it, or even when you can't even feel it, you respond to God. It's an act of faith. I believe it. This word I heard, and I'm making a response toward you, God. How many times have you heard the word of God go forth and we walk out the doors because we did not allow it here? I made a purpose. Even when I preach, believe it or not, I get convicted. God, I receive that word that you just gave me. I apply it to my heart, Lord Jesus. Let that word that I just heard, let it change my mind and my heart, God. See, it's an act of faith. As we say, as you step out from where you are, when you make your way to the front, at certain parts of the service, what you're saying is, Lord, look at me. I'm responding. You're not saying to one another, look at me. That has no bearing. Well, the reason I don't is I don't want people to feel like that. Feel like what? It doesn't matter what they think. But it is important for us, every service, to step into the presence of God. Look, Lord, I'm approaching you. Lord, apply my word to your word to my life right now. For whatever reason, maybe depression, perhaps discouragement, disappointment. I've been there over and over and nothing has seemed to happen. Maybe it's sickness. No matter what you're going through, no matter what your flesh says, no matter what your mind tells you, no matter if you're thinking, many times people think, what will others think? What, you know what? When we just start coming up all the time, it's a non-issue. But I think it's very, very important. Because when we approach the Lord, we're making a statement to Him. No matter what you're going through, you push through and respond to God. I believe this could be said. You have not because you didn't or you quit responding. Jesus said, I've come to preach you the kingdom message. The kingdom. The message of the kingdom. The message of how the kingdom works. And He said in Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. The kingdom of God suffereth violence. It doesn't mean that violence is unloosed. What it simply means is the kingdom of God allows for violence. And violence just means the forcer, the energetic. Take it by force. Those that say, hey, it doesn't matter what's going on. I've come to the house of God today. I've worshiped the Lord. I'm going to get what God has for me today. I'm going to receive God's presence. I'm going to receive what God is speaking to me today. And it's the one that forces their way in simply because of doubt, confusion, because of perception, anything else that the devil would try to throw on you. You push it aside and you say, I'm going into the presence of God. The energetic take it by force. I like that. As a precious prize. It's the most valuable prize because many times, you're stepping out, you're approaching to God becomes that second part of seeking God. Ooh, hallelujah. Feel the Holy Ghost as I say that. Your response dictates what you receive. All through the Bible, you can see those that were rewarded because of their response to God. It's very easy. You can just kind of go right down the line. Adam. You can look at Abel. You can look at Noah. All the world was wiped out except one man and his family simply because he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He worshiped the Lord. He responded to God when God told him. All over. Noah preached for however long that ark was building. Noah preached. A preacher of righteousness, the Word of God says. Noah preached. You got to get into the ship. You got to get into this boat. You got to get into the ark of safety. If you stay out there, you're going to be lost. You've got to get in. You've got to get in. So it is today. This preacher is telling you, you've got to get into the presence of the Lord. You've got to commit your life and your heart to God. You've got to respond to Him. Jesus is calling and He needs your response. Don't stay on the outside. Step into the ark of the Lord for safety. Noah. Abraham. Notice the things that Abraham did, became the father of the faithful, a friend of God. One point God said, Abraham's going to be a mighty nation. I've got to tell him what I'm getting ready to do. Wow. What a relationship. Why? Because he called unto Abraham, go sacrifice your son, your only son. Doesn't list it. Doesn't say all sorts of questions that Abraham asked. Doesn't say all sorts of conditions Abraham put up. Now, Lord, if I'm going to do this, this is how it's done. He just went. And on his way there, he said, I and the lad, we're going up on that mountain. And we're going to worship the Lord. No, he's going up there to sacrifice his son. Not in his book, not in his mind's eye. I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to search out the Lord. I'm knocking on the door of the Lord. We're going up to the presence and the power of God. We're going to worship the Lord. And you know what happened to him? Blessed in everything that he did. Favor from God Almighty. I could go on and on through the Old Testament. Could tell you of Elijah and Elisha. Could tell you of David and Daniel and on and on and on. But how about the blind man in the New Testament? His response. Shh. Shut up. Don't bother him. And the scripture says he cried out the more. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He would not shut up. He refused to be quietened. He didn't care how he looked. He didn't care what anybody thought of him. He'd already got the kicks and already got the beatings and get out of the way, blind man. He didn't care. He had heard that Jesus did miracles. He said, I'm going to get my miracle today. I'm going to receive. Why? How did he do it? Because he responded. He would not take no for an answer. He moved toward God. He called out to God. What about the Syrophoenician woman? Jesus said, I can't heal your daughter. You're a dog. What would happen if I called you a dog? God help me. You'd hit that door just as quick as you could. I ain't ever coming back. That preacher just called me a dog. But Jesus called her a dog. I can't give bread to dogs. But she refused all of that. And she said, I'm responding to God. I'm responding to the call of God. I'm responding to the voice of God. God, please heal my daughter. And because of that response, Jesus said, it's not the time, it's not the place, but simply because you're crying out to me, simply because you're responding, I've got to do something. Be this done unto you. The woman with the issue of blood that pressed her way, she said in her mind, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I would be made whole. She pushed and she shoved. She didn't care what others thought, but she touched and she responded and she was made whole. Mary Magdalene brought the oil. The apostles, Peter, James, and John, the apostle Paul, he must increase, I must decrease. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is a crown of life laid up for me. Praise God, because of the response I gave to the Lord. Hallelujah. All across this building, your response breaks chains. Your response pulls down strongholds. Your response makes the difference in your life. Hallelujah. Shall we stand? Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this second service. in the time appointed, in the time when the invitation is given, when the call is made to you, respond to the voice of God, respond to the call of God, and allow the presence and the power of God to sweep over your soul and your life and your spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, rado soto ramosha kadara die. Hallelujah. One of the most powerful words ever in the human language is response. No relationship without response. No answer without response. Come on. Could we lead the way in our worship to God, in our seeking God, in our calling to God, in our allowing the presence of God to move and minister in this next service? Find yourself a place to pray. And let's come into this second service. Let's be geared and primed, ready for a response to God. Lord bless.